time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again at Glen Hill. And don't forget, tomorrow, James Anderson will be on. James will be talking about springtime, things we could observe, and especially if we went out the bike trail, the tall grass trail in that area. Okay, and, well, and all the other sites in the Marion County Park District. But James Anderson will be live tomorrow. George Kasoulis is live today. George, oh, here's another phone call. Okay, phone caller, go ahead.
Okay, Charlie, there's a salt, it's called No Salt.
No Salt.
Oh, go ahead. It says it's sodium-free alternative, and it's the flavor without the sodium. And I've used this for a long time.
Oh, now what? Okay, now where do you buy it, and what's the name of it again?
It's called No, N-O, and then Salt, S-A-L-T.
Yeah.
And it's sodium-free alternative, with the flavor without the sodium. And it says on the back, recommended for sodium-restricted diet.
Wow.
That you want to check with your doctor, because to me it tastes the same as salt. I don't know any difference.
It's probably the potassium in it that gives it the flavor.
Yeah, it's got potassium. But
high potassium, yeah.
Yeah, I probably got it at Meijer's, but Kroger's maybe would carry it, because I've had this for a good while.
I think Morton makes a light salt with that same type of thing, with high potassium. Yeah. But if
I can't see who makes this, but it says, let's see, it comes from Missouri, and
okay.
It's a product of Germany.
All right.
So, but I would say I probably got it at Meijer's, if not probably Kroger's.
Good. I'm
and
glad.
It's no salt, and I can't tell the difference in it. So.
Good. Okay. Hey, okay. I'm glad you called.
Okay, well, you can check it out, and always, if you have medical problems, always ask the doctor before you get it.
That's for sure, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Okay, George. So they're...
No salt.
Yeah, right. Now, Morton makes a light salt, but in that, it's high in potassium, and those of us that are measuring our kidneys every month or so have to be kind of careful about high potassium. But anyhow, I tell you, eating without salt, George, is like dying.
I'm not a salt person.
Oh, really?
No.
What do you use for flavoring?
Pepper.
Really?
I use pepper, but I don't use salt.
Oh. Yeah, I'm so used to eating things with... everybody's used to eating so much salt, and I guess it doesn't do you any good.
The only time my wife uses salt is on her radishes.
Oh.
She can't eat a radish without having...
I can't either.
You got to rub a... You know, you cut a radish in two, and you put that white down on
Dip
the salt.
Dip it in the salt.
But you eat a radish without it, and then try it with a little salt, and it's completely... That's really different.
Yes. I love radishes. Oh, boy. I used to buy bunches of radishes, and I cut the... Oh, here's a caller. Caller, go ahead.
Listen, here's my 2 cents worth.
Yes.
By the time them doctors and dietitians and such get done with you, well, you ain't allowed much past a carrot stick and a glass of diet water. So I say live every day to the fullest, eat all the red meat you want, and drink a beer or two every day. Because you never know when it's going to be your last.
Well, that's right.
All right, now have a good show.
You too. Okay. Yeah, thanks for your call. Yeah.
I like beer with my meal.
Yeah. Yeah, it tastes good, yeah.
If in the evening, if I have a beer with my meal, my wife likes to have a glass of wine with her meal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I'm not an alcoholic or anything because I served it for 65
well, that's
years.
That's right. You served all that liquor and everything, but you never...
You know what happened?
What?
I was pouring it, and I could smell that whiskey, that bourbon, yes. That with that charcoal barrel, you know,
the burned barrels, yeah.
And it used to upset my stomach.
Oh.
The smell.
Yeah.
Because I poured it so much.
But you were smart having a restaurant that sold all this, but you were careful that you didn't
consume.
Overdo it
yourself. No. Yeah. Too many guys that were in the restaurant business, were buddies of mine that I knew got into it, and they're gone.
That's right.
Because they drank all the time.
I grew up with a family in Bucyrus, the Worm family, and Bert Worm had Worm's Restaurant and imbibed in about a case of beer a day and didn't do him any good. Whew, gone. But that's the way it is. I, you know, here's something I never said on the air. My buddy Jim Worm, that I went to school with and graduated with and buddied around with, Jim decided to become a priest, and so he enrolled at the Pontifical College there in Worthington. Well, we would go down once a month to visit him, and we weren't allowed to come in. We had to have our visit with him in our car, and Bert would put a case of Miller's High Life in the trunk, and we would sit there and drink...
Miller's High Life?
Miller's High Life at Pontifical College Josephinum.
Josephinum.
Yeah, I never forget that either. Oh, part of my life that happened a long time ago.
That's where Joe Sprague was. Joe Sprague, remember that name?
Yes, right.
The Epworth United Methodist Church Minister for he was at Epworth for like 8 years.
Yes.
8 years. He married Joanne and I. Joe Sprague. Oh, what a beautiful guy.
I remember all the ministers at Epworth because at 9:15 every Sunday morning, they would come out and I would have them live on the air. And I can remember the very first, and I can't remember his name now. Golly.
Who?
I'm trying to think of the minister back in the 1950s from Epworth.
Everson?
No, Everson came... Now, Everson, that's an interesting that you mentioned that. Everson, to me, had a fake English accent.
What?
Yeah, he did. He had an English accent.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I remember hearing him,
I kept thinking of him. He didn't come from Europe.
How do you know?
Well, I could hear it. I heard it.
You heard it?
Yeah. I don't know. But anyhow, before him... There were a couple of others, and it's so long ago, I can't remember. Wow. But I used to know all the ministers in Marion, every single one, because one by one, we had them on the air.
On the air.
Yeah. The one that I enjoyed the most was the black minister.
You mean our old buddy?
Yeah. He couldn't read or write. But before he went on the air, he would have me recite a verse of the Bible. He would memorize it from my speech, and go on the air and quote that word for word. Reverend, what was his name now? Lashley. Reverend Milton.
Milton Lashley. Yeah. Oh, God. I'm glad you came up with it, Charlie. I did.
He was the greatest man.
Oh, my God.
He lived just down the street at one time from me.
I was with him at the YMCA every day.
Yes. He wore a blue suit and had a cross around his neck.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yes, right. A blue suit and that cross. He was in World War I. Probably in the same war your dad was in.
Yeah, yeah.
And after World War I, he got hired to work at the Panama Canal. or let's see, well, the Panama Canal was 1914 when it ended, so he worked in Panama before he went to World War One. And then some people brought him to Marion at one time. But anyhow, he was, you know, Marion's had a lot of different people that are gone. No one remembers. Except us older people.
Yeah, yeah. Charles, you and I remember Milton Leisley. Oh, like it was yesterday.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
I could remember Milton. Oh.
Every now and then he would, I'd see him walking down the street, and I'd say, Milton, I'll take you wherever you want to go. Oh, thank you, Charlie. Yeah. Oh, my.
He had a buddy that did, I used to call it Masuth. He was a Masuth.
Oh, Otis Scott.
Oh, Otis Scott.
Yeah.
Blind man.
Yes, it's a Y.
He taught me how to breathe.
And Otis Scott Jr.
Most of us don't know how to breathe, but I mean, we stay alive, but we don't know really how to breathe.
That's
but
right.
Otis Scott taught breathing.
Yeah. And there's an Otis Scott who's a university president in California. It's his boy, I suppose.
Maybe it's his son.
Yeah, probably so. And when Otis died, his boys gave his eulogy at the cemetery. And I'll always remember that, how well they spoke of their dad. My.
His wife, Elizabeth, was the first black teacher in the Marion City school system.
Right?
First black teacher.
Wow. Isn't that something?
And Elizabeth Scott and Otis, oh, they were something else. I loved those people. Oh.
Yes, Otis was a big part of Marion's past.
He was.
Oh,
he was.
My.
So, now, when I mentioned breathing, it was the fact that he would take us out, us young guys that were at Central Junior High School, 7th, 8th,
right,
and 9th grade, he would take us out of the building at the YMCA, the first Y downtown, where the bus station is now,
right
there at State Street. That was the first Y. And he would take us out and walk. And while every step we take, to the left, to the right, to the, like you do, trained in the Army,
right,
your left, your left,
oh, yeah,
your left, right, left,
right,
your left, your left. Well, he would walk with us and show us how to breathe with each step.
Oh, is that right?
Otis did that.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Oh, it was amazing. And it was amazing because you'd breathe in on the left and out on the right.
Right. Wow. Yeah. And breathing is so important because your lungs must have oxygen.
Otis taught that to young students like 7th, 8th, and 9th graders.
Well, isn't that something? And Otis was blind.
He was blind.
Yeah.
And he had his cane. Wow. But was he sharp? Oh, my God. And he had a computer with Braille.
Oh, is that right?
Chris and Aris, my two sons, when they were like 7, 8, 9 years old, he taught them.
No kidding.
On a Braille computer.
Oh, my. Isn't that something?
He's working a computer because the little digitals were in Braille.
Right. Isn't that something? Yeah, you know, it'd be interesting to compile a book of famous people. Of course, down in the basement of Heritage Hall, they do have a number of plaques on the wall of famous people or people that were accomplished for Marion. But there are other people, like you won't find Otis Scott in a plaque on the wall, but you will find Milton Leisley.
Oh, Milton's down there.
I campaigned for his plaque when I was president of the Historical Society, and by golly, I finally agreed to it. What a man. And he meant so much to the young. Well, I think I've told this story several times. He had a Boy Scout troop, and every year his Boy Scouts, even as poor as Milton was and as poor as his Boy Scout troop was, they managed to go to camp every year. And I often wondered, well, if he sent his kids to camp, where'd they get the money? I found out one time it was Lowell Hamburg that gave the money. And that is, and no one ever knew that. But I found out, kind of like from on the back porch, about Lowell Hamburg. What a nice guy. I always thought Lowell was kind of coarse, smoking that cigar. And here, he had a heart. He really did have a heart. And there, he's gone. Everybody's gone of that era. And George, they go quick. We're left.
He came out. He always, him and his dad and his mom and his wife would come in my restaurant for lunch. A million times they came in my room. One day he walks out. It was a sunny day, and he's standing out in front of the restaurant. And this guy,
Scott, you know, there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with George Kasotis. Okay, George, you were talking about Lowell Hamburg and his wife.
Well, also there was other Jerry and Faye Ginsburg.
Yes, Mr. G.
Oh, you remember Jerry Ginsburg?
And his cigar.
And his cigar.
And I often wondered, did he smoke that cigar in the dress shop? I wouldn't think he would.
No. Faye would not let him because the name of the shop was called the Faye Shop.
Right.
Faye would not let him smoke that cigar in there.
Oh, no.
He could put a cigar in his mouth like Charlie Wright does and never lights it.
Oh, that's right.
Remember Charlie Wright?
Where's Charlie now?
He's living on King Avenue.
Is he?
Right behind where we live. But Charlie always says, George, you live behind me. And I say, no, Charlie, you live behind me. I live on...
I haven't seen Charlie Wright in ages.
Oh, Charlie's still got that cigar in his mouth.
Okay. He once had an antique shop, too, down on 23.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was Charlie Wright's major occupation? Was he a marketing person of some kind?
Oh, yeah. They made water wells for, come on, what's the name of that company? It was just down the street from me. Isn't that something? I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, the Jewish group was standing out. They ate in the restaurant, came out. It was a beautiful sunny day. And they're standing there talking, and this guy walks up and punches, not real hard, but he punches Lowell Hamburg in the chest, and he said, you sank the Titanic. And Lowell says, are you crazy? He said, what the heck's the matter with you? He said, we didn't sink no Titanic. He said, yes, you did. You got Ginsburg, Hamburg, Greenberg, Wahlberg, and Iceberg.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Iceberg.
Oh. Well, and that brings you around to the, we used to have a lot in our Jewish community here, but we don't anymore, do we?
Oh, no, it's down to just a half a dozen families, maybe, the most.
And our Jewish community had their own burial plots up at Brush Ridge.
Yes.
In the cemetery up there.
Yeah, I
wonder why they chose not to have a series of plots here in Marion.
There's just a few.
Yeah. Who are the prominent Jews? Of course, not so much is made of that anymore. I was going to say, who are the prominent Jews in Marion now? But we remember the ones way back.
Babich.
Babich. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Babich.
Sarah, his wife, and they travel all around.
Yeah, Larry and Sarah.
Yeah, Larry was a brother to, the other Babbage?
Bob Babbage? No.
No, Bob would have been his uncle.
Uncle.
Yeah, and Ted was his...
The son, Ted, was his cousin.
Cousin, okay, yeah. Who else is there that you can think of? But I remember, Bronwyn, that's Ted's wife.
Yeah, Bronwyn.
Yeah. And Ted's mother, she was so good in theater.
Oh, my.
So was Bob.
Marilyn Babbage.
Oh, my. And I can remember Marilyn in her last days. She had had Alzheimer's or whatever. And she, for months and months, wheeled her chair up and down the aisles in a nursing home. And I would look at her and think how prominent she was at one time and how this terrible disease just takes everything away. Isn't that something?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
One man that I knew so well in Marion, his name was White. He was the father of all the White boys that were in insurance. What was his first name? He was a good friend of mine. The two of us would entertain at nursing homes. He'd wear a tall hat. Oh, what was his name? His son, it was a preacher in Delaware. And, but anyhow, I called him Stark White. That was his name, Stark White. I once had a talent show at the Palace Theater of Senior Citizens, and Stark was one person that I had sing. Only I introduced him as Stark Naked.
That's funny, yeah.
And he carried that the rest of his life. People come up to him and say, "Hey, I'm Stark Naked."
Now, there's one Jewish man that was well known throughout the downtown area of Marion because he washed every window in the Marion.
Yeah.
Sam Birnbaum.
Yes.
You remember Sam?
Yeah, didn't Sam put his kids through college?
Yes,
too?
Washing windows.
Yeah, yeah. Now, who would do that today?
Sam would go around with his... He had all the regular...
I could see a squeegee in his back pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Sam Birnbaum. Remember that name?
Oh, my. Yeah, in the one era, everybody knew Sam because he was always downtown washing windows. And he was so good at it.
Oh, he's squeaky clean.
Yeah, I wonder how much.
He washed my window almost a couple times a week, two or three times.
What
I think
did he charge to do that?
A couple dollars. I think he started out with a couple dollars.
Yeah.
$1, $2, and $3. And then I think he only ended up maybe $5.
I wonder if there any of the Birnbaum kids, probably none around
no,
here yet.
No.
They all went on to other cities. And then, of course, Jerry Davis. Jerry was a very prominent...
Oh, dude. Saul Freed was the man. Saul,
yeah, he married his daughter.
Yeah.
Saul Freed's daughter, yeah.
Saul Freed was the Jewish man of Marion.
And it was said that he stopped in Marion in World War I on a train and decided then he would come back to this town. At one time, he liked it so well. They treated him so nice.
He started out repairing watches and selling watches.
Okay.
That's what he started out with on North Main Street before he started Mays Jewelry.
Okay. So that was all.
I stopped in, where was that, in Florida? He moved to Florida, retired, and Jerry took over. And I stopped at his house because he always told me, he said, "George, you come to Florida, you stop at my house because I want you to fix me a Greek salad and some Greek grape leaves." You know, the grape leaves?
Right. Now, what's that called?
Dolmades. Dolmades.
Okay. The grape leaf is moistened and... what's rolled up in the grape?
Rice. You can put just plain rice and lemon juice and some seasonings, oregano and different seasonings. But you can always add a ground hamburger or ground lamb.
I've had that at Little Athens in Bucyrus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dolmades.
Okay.
Grape leaves with the meat, with meat or without meat. Without meat is great because you got the lemon juice. You can chop up onion and rice, and chop up vegetables in there.
You know, George, all the time I was in the hospital, I kept thinking to myself, I'd sure love to have some of George Casota's lemon and olive oil on something.
Even the egg and lemon soup with the orzo in it.
Yeah, Oh, yes.
Orzo and lemon and egg. You break the egg, you separate the white from the yellow.
Yes.
And you stir in the white, and then you stir in the yellow, and it comes so frothy, creamy, and you're souping that. And you know what we call it?
No.
You don't have any idea what we call that?
No.
Greek penicillin.
That's good. Greek penicillin. So
Abgolemono soup, egg and lemon, with the rice and a foamy cream.
Wow.
That soup will heal you, whatever you have. So that's why we put the name, I put the name on that, as Greek penicillin.
Well, that's pretty good. So you separate the yolk from the white.
Oh, yeah.
But you beat both of them separately?
Yeah, beat them separately.
And then you put them together.
Pour them in the soup at one time with the white and then one time with the yellow.
Okay.
And it just foams up and makes it creamy.
Oh.
With the rice.
Yes. Hmm.
You don't need meat in there. All you need is the lemon, the rice, the egg.
Wow.
And that's why the name of an egg in Greek is avgo. Avgo.
Okay.
Avgo lemono. Avgo lemono soup.
Wow.
Egg and lemon.
So we learned something.
With rice.
Yeah, with rice.
Greek penicillin.
Okay. Now, how do you fix rice? Now, we buy a sack of rice. Do you boil it? Now, in a Chinese restaurant, you can get either regular rice or fried. What is fried rice?
It's just grilled.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder, because it looks white, just like, well, a little darker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're grilling it, and you're flipping it over and grilling rice, fried rice.
And then you put it back in the the heater or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So I often think of it, the American pronunciation would be fried rice.
I know, but just think of all the billions of Chinese people, and their diet is rice.
And you look at them, and very few are overweight.
No.
You know, that's one thing that I often think of. We have the access to such good food, fattening food, that we're all, you know, it's easy to become overweight.
I worked in the, when I first sold my restaurant, I worked I worked for Joe Sprague. I worked for, what's his name? He looks like Dan Kiger.
Dan, yes.
You remember Dan Kiger.
That looks like the, you're right.
What's that guy's name, that writer?
The one who used to have a radio show every Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Identical to Dan Kiger.
Yeah, they look a lot alike.
Yeah.
And anyway, I work.
The Prairie Home Companion. Remember that?
Yeah, we can't say his name, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There was a, I don't know if she was Chinese, Vietnamese, or whatever she was, because when you stay Chinese, Vietnamese, Pekingese, all these different Chinese.
They all look alike, huh?
She had a cooker this big.
Yeah.
Huge cooker. And every day she had that rice cooking.
Oh.
And that's all she ever ate was rice.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why? Did she flavor rice with anything?
No, just plain rice.
Wow.
I've never seen her do anything but eat plain rice. I thought she would salt and pepper it or put lemon juice or something in there. But no, she never did.
She was not overweight then.
No, skinny.
Skinny, yes.
I mean, thin, trim. Always right. Trim.
I often wonder, you see so many trim Oriental people that... obviously, their diet is a lot different than ours.
A lot different.
Yeah. But
there's so many things you can add to rice. Like I told you, the egg and the egg white and egg yellow yolk, and then the lemon and the rice. But, and it's so easy. If you have these cooker pots, you can make that every day. And cook it right in the pot. You don't have to do anything except put it in there and add your water and your rice and let it cook. And you got steamed rice.
Okay.
And that's very nourishing for your body.
Apparently so. I've never looked into what rice contains as far as nourishment goes, but apparently it's sufficient.
It's sufficient.
Yeah.
Billions of Chinese people eat it every day.
Yeah, right. And you won't find very many obese Orientals.
No.
In fact, just the, you know, very thin. Okay, we're going to break here. Now, if you have anything you'd like to comment or questions you'd like to ask, of course, most people are kind of bashful to call.
Give them the number.
Yeah, 740-383-9940. Like to hear from you. We're going to break here. Then we'll be back for our final 15 minutes with George Kasoulis.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. George, you mentioned, while we were off the air, the name Bus Lehman. Wasn't he a manager at Euler's?
He was the manager at Euler's.
Oh, the whole works.
The best-dressed manager in Marion probably 40 years at Euler Phillips Building, downtown Marion. Bus Lehman.
Now, is Bus gone, I suppose?
Oh, Bus is gone a long time ago.
Yeah. My mother knew him well. In fact, she consulted with him. Because my mother had something wrong with her stomach that she couldn't eat milk or something, and he had the same thing.
Bus Lehman was the epitome of dress.
Right?
he had the most beautiful ties and suits and shirts, and he had the hanky coming out. He was such a best dressed guy, and he was the man. He would stand out in front, right out in front of Euler Phillips Building, and the ladies would come in, and he'd grab their hand and walk them, and kiss their hand and walk them, bring them into the store, and they would buy stuff, and he would say, "Oh, I got some beautiful clothes over here," and Bus Lehman was something else. He walked into my restaurant one day with somebody you'll never believe, Carrie Phillips.
No kidding. Really?
The mistress of
the president. She was still...
She was still alive up until the 50s.
Wow.
She didn't die until about mid-50s.
And she still had her senses then?
Oh, you ought to have seen the dress she had on the day she walked in my restaurant. Carrie Phillips, Bus Lehman brought her in for lunch.
Well, now that's interesting.
I never told you that on the air, Charlie.
I'm glad to hear that.
Carrie Phillips was the mistress to President Warren G. Harding.
Right.
But she was very young then.
Yes.
Because she lived until the 50s.
That's right. So back in World War I, she didn't want Harding to vote to go to war. World War I.
Yeah. Now you talk about famous ladies that came to my restaurant.
Wow.
Guess who else came to my restaurant?
Who would that be?
Marilyn Metzke.
Oh, okay, yes.
Miss America 1938.
Yeah, she got a nice write-up in the paper here the other day.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
But it didn't mention that she taught George how to dance.
Well, she did teach me how to dance.
Yeah.
Martha and I were taught by Marilyn Metzke.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, she was something else. You talk about... you know who she was as good as?
No.
Ginger Rogers.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's how good she was. Was she to be Miss America?
Oh, yeah.
She had to be something.
Boy, you're not kidding. Especially coming from a small town.
Over there, 246 East Prospect Street, South Prospect.
I wonder how she managed to get in the limelight nationally, even Ohio.
She was born in 1914.
Okay.
And she became, she was just exceptionally good and talented. You don't realize how many dance studios before Martha Dowse, and Martha Dowse had been in that 65 years.
That's right, forever, yeah.
And there was people back then that taught dancing. And recently, I mean, back in the 40s, there was, you remember the Basors, Ray Basor?
The name is familiar, but I don't remember them.
The Basors.
Did Marilyn have a dance studio, too?
Marilyn had a dance studio right there at the house.
At the house.
On Prospect Street. Do you know that porch is designed like the Harding porch?
No kidding.
If you looked at that porch, you stand out. I've been on that porch many times.
Wow.
It's designed exactly like the Warren G. Harding's.
Well, isn't that something?
And it's at 246 South Prospect Street, and people don't know that.
Yeah. All right.
And it's still there. Hmm. And the lady that owns that house now, she owns that, it's a dress shop there where Jody Lackey is upstairs. Has a what's that called?
At Charleston Place.
Charleston Place.
Yes.
The lady that owns Charleston Place owns that house.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Her and her sister, she owns the dress, she has the dress shop in there, and her sister has the, makes picture frames in the back.
Yeah.
The owner's sister and her own that building, and they have business. There's a Christian bookshop on one side,
right,
and a dress shop on this side, and then the photo gallery back there where she makes frames for pictures.
Really?
And then upstairs is Jody Lackey.
Yeah, didn't I read somewhere where Jody is expanding a little or adding something?
Yeah, she's added quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
So the lady that owns that owns the old Metzke house.
Well, that's interesting to know. A little bit of trivia. Wow.
On 246 South Prospect Street.
Okay. Right near the fire department.
Yeah, just down. In fact, I was there. I was walking down that street one day, and I heard this yelling. And her husband, the lady that owns Charleston Place, yes, was in a wheelchair because he was a contractor and he had fallen and broken his back.
Okay.
And he's in a wheelchair, and the wheelchair tipped over and he couldn't get up.
Oh.
And I went back there and he said, "Help, help, help." And I said, "I'll be right back." So I ran up to the fire department and I said, "Guys, come with me." There were five guys standing out in front of the fire, sitting out in front of chairs.
Yes.
And they ran with me down there and they picked him up and took him back in the house. Because the lady that owned Charleston Place lives in that house.
Interesting. Speaking of firemen in chairs, when I grew up and I was part of the Bucyrus Fire Department, we all sat outside in these wicker-bottom chairs.
Yeah, yeah. All those firemen used to do that down on South Prospect Street, our number one fire station.
Right. Yeah.
And that place is old now.
Oh.
And they're saying that they need a new fire department.
Oh, yeah. But nowadays, if firemen sat outside, the people would complain that why aren't they doing something?
Yeah. Well, there's no fire.
That used to be, I'd sat with them in there in Bucyrus night after night. We had everything done. All we had to do was wait for an alarm to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. 11:52 is the time. If you've got anything you'd like to ask about old time Marion, my land, and all the characters, of course, Don and Carl Sims came about in the earlier years of Marion and made a big success of themselves. And who else, George? What about this guy I hear? Oh, here's a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Charlie? This is Pat Henry.
Yes, Pat.
Hey, I was just heard you and George talking there. You mentioned Bus Lehman. Bus Lehman was my great uncle.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, his wife and my grandmother were sisters.
Oh, okay. And so that was, Bus has been gone, I suppose, for quite a few years, huh?
Oh, yeah, so probably 10, 15 years anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so many people are not remembered because the younger generation had never heard of them.
Well, yeah.
But that's the way it is.
Okay, well, I just thought I'd pass that along.
Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah, okay. That's what I like, people to call in and join in.
Bus has a niece that works. She's the head nurse. I think one of the head nurses out at Primrose.
Really?
Polly.
Well,
yeah, Polly works out at Primrose.
Oh.
And that's Bus Lehman's niece.
Oh, okay.
And I see Polly because I speak at Primrose.
Yeah.
And she's there. And she's something else, that Polly. And she brags about Bus. She said, oh, he was such a beautiful dresser and good-looking yeah. guy and handsome. And that's why he dated. I don't know if he dated. I don't think he dated Carrie Phillips. But I think he came into my restaurant yeah. with her.
Right.
He would go to lunch together.
Are there any men that you can think of today that you would pick out of a crowd as being a little different in dressing fancy or being stylish?
Oh, another one of the Ted MacArthur.
Oh, Ted MacArthur. I remember him.
We called him Tilly.
Yeah, who was he married to?
That's not the point of who he was married to. Yeah. He worked for a clothing company.
Oh,
and
okay.
he used to wear those camel hair top coats, camel.
Yeah.
You know, the camel yeah. hair top coats. And always had the... Bus Lehman was a good dresser, but I think... Ted MacArthur was the best dressed okay. guy in Marion.
Ted drove me. I think I was head of the U.S. Open Parade maybe one year, and I rode with Ted MacArthur in his convertible. That was a long time.
You know who used to try to keep up with Ted MacArthur?
No.
Gus Judy.
Oh, Gus?
Gus had to. He said, George, that darn. He used to say a different word than
yeah,
I. He
yeah.
said, that darn Tilly MacArthur. I can't keep up with that guy. That guy has got... He was he worked for a clothing manufacturing company.
Really?
And he had the best suits. Oh, my God. They were all tailored to perfection.
Wow.
And even Kiefer bowed down to Ted MacArthur.
Is that right?
All right. And Kiefer was... Hey, that man wore a suit every day of his life.
Wow.
And beautiful material. He'd go to New York. You know who he'd go to New York with?
Madge Cooper.
Well, Madge Cooper. He'd take Madge to New York. He took Faye Ginsburg.
Oh, okay.
Him and Faye would buy she would buy the best stuff, and he would buy the best stuff
yeah.
and bring it back to Marion. And the rich ladies that could afford
yes.
to pay $400, $500, $600 for a dress or a suit back in the 40s. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, I'm still on the air at WWGH Marcello. How are you? I'll be. Are you at my house yet?
Yeah, I'm outside.
I'll be right. Chris is there. Just knock on the door. Chris is in the back. Go in the back door and go in, and I'll be there in a few. I'll be there in about 10 minutes.
That's fine.
Thank you, Marcello. Calling me from Argentina.
Oh, is that right?
He's came from all the way from Argentina, and
oh, yeah.
he's coming to my house right now.
Is that he the husband of the owner of Byrie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's working with NetJets now.
Okay. Oh, really?
He's back with NetJets. Yeah.
Oh, out of Columbus.
Out of Columbus.
Yeah.
He's in Columbus now working.
Wow.
He was in Miami.
You gonna fix dinner?
Huh?
You gonna fix dinner for him?
We're going to have lunch together.
Oh, okay.
he was working in Miami.
Wow.
And he tried to come back and forth. Now he's working out at the north of the John Glenn International has
yes.
the NetJet behind him.
And the NetJets are you can hire them to do whatever.
They have a fleet of 400 jets right now.
That many. Wow.
I talked to Marcello on the phone the other day, and he said that NetJet has a 400 jets, and they're not that. What one that just went off?
That 737 Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're more of the probably the twin engine jets that do more or less smaller service for people all over.
All over executive companies,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, executive jets.
I mean, from Houston, Texas, to Seattle, Washington, to Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, Florida. They fly them all over. Executives.
Yes.
NetJet does that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Big company out of Columbus. I wish we had something out of Marion that big.
How about that 400? They have 400 jets.
Wow.
That's just amazing. Can you imagine what the maintenance on that many jets would be like?
Woo. Guess what Marcello does? He fixes the jets.
Oh.
That's how he came to Marion, because
is that right?
HPM and Montgillion had two jets.
Yes.
And he fixed those jets for him.
Oh, okay.
And then when he fixed those jets for him, he was working in Miami at the time. He came back. They brought him back here, took him to my restaurant, and said, and had a meal. And yeah. He said, "My wife is a good cook. Would you sell the restaurant?"
Oh,
and that's
wow.
how I yeah. sold the restaurant to Marcella.
Okay, we're coming up. George Consolos is my guest today. Tomorrow it's going to be James Anderson. We'll talk about wildlife and other things. George, we will see you next month.
Thank you.
Keep healthy.
Hey, I got to keep coming back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Okay, well, let's here we go. It's announcement time.
Did I want to write myself on an independent ticket and run for president of the United States?
What inspired this?
A lot of the situations where it's quite evident that it's time for a change. Everything must change. If there were no butterflies, if there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies. Change, change, change. That's what it's time for, Scott. You know it. Terry Tackett knows it. Scott Anthony knows it. Brianna knows it. It's time for a change. Not just in the housing market. I'm talking about globally. Our United States government is spending more money on building prisons and earning money